Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Increasing your mind power today, but we're going to be increasing the power of your pocketbook because, oh, and I know so many of you out there are doing exactly this. You are dealing on eBay, you're buying, you're selling. Well, we have the queen of eBay with us today, Lynn A. Drail. She is known as the queen of eBay, the queen of auctions, and she's in, I hope it's sunny California right now. I'm hearing all these cold weather temps. Lynn, what's it like
down there? It's pretty sunny, but not very warm.
Not very warm, huh? Well, you're just not keeping up with the California myth. I mean, that's not it. But hey, you're smiling every day when you go to the bank. So what do you care?
That's exactly right.
You can turn that heater on and you can make believe, but this cold spot won't last for too long in California. Lynn, you have, and you've been a guest on my show previously, but we've got so many listeners that have never heard anything about you. You have, well, you've been involved in antiques ever since you were knee-high to an aunt.
That's right.
And you're a third-generation antique and collectible dealer and a first-generation eBay power seller. And I love the story about your grandmother because I just think she is such an awesome, awesome lady. So I would love for you to share with my audience your family's background and this wonderful, wonderful woman that you had the chance to learn from. What an incredible lady she is.
Yeah, she really was. And it's so funny because I grew up in Bellingham, Washington, and my grandma had an antique store there in Bellingham for 52 years. It was called Cheryl Leaf Antiques. And I was lucky enough to start working for her when I was 3 and 4 years old. She'd let me in the shop, and when I was 6 and 7, I got to go to antique shows with her. She used to do antique shows in Seattle. She used to do like 12 a year in Seattle. She'd do another 6 in Portland. She was up and down the coast doing antique shows, and I got to go with her and learn just right from her all about business and life and antiques and really the whole antique business and collectible business before it got so popular and so easy for everyone else to do. Because I'll tell you, 52 years ago, there weren't that many dealers.
That's
and now,
the truth.
And now almost anyone can be a dealer. All you have to do is, you know, put a few things on eBay and you're in business. So I was very fortunate to have that upbringing.
Well, I remember from our previous interviews a few of the items, and I just want to chat about this because your grandmother never ever threw anything away. And I love the story about your grandmother's house and how it started out. Well, I guess you'd consider it an average size house. And every time your grandmother ran out of space, your grandfather built on.
That's amazing that you remember that.
And it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. What was the square footage in your grandma's house?
You know, when she first bought that house, I think it was 1,400 square feet, and the shop took up about 200, you know, square feet. And she ended up adding on a complete extra addition that was about 6,000 square feet. She added on to the original house. I think it probably ended up maybe about 7,000-8,000 square feet if you include all the basements and garages and everything. And she filled every single nook and cranny with merchandise.
Boy, what a wonderful, wonderful woman, because she believed that everything had a value.
Yes, she certainly did.
And I remember specifically, I don't remember the price on it, but there was a bunch of teeth that somebody had brought her from out in the middle of an island, out in the middle of God knows where's ocean. And you got an unbelievable sum.
I love that story. It's number 51 in my first 100 best book.
Right.
And my grandma paid $2 for them, and they sold for $103.50 to a gal in L.A., and I don't know what she was going to do with those teeth, but that was an incredible amount of money.
And each of the teeth, I remember, had been bored with a hole.
Yep, so somebody could make jewelry out of them, and that's probably what they did.
So the different things that she had, and she educated you on that because she felt that was very important to understand that maybe something wasn't going to be valued too much now, but she had an eye for things, and she was willing to sit on it like an old mother hen. And then when she passed away in 2000, and she was very mature, and she had had such a rich, fabulous life, you had to take care of her estate.
Oh, boy.
Took you how long because of all these little bits and pieces? I mean, she had everything categorized, though. She had an order to what she was doing. She knew where everything was.
She really did, and it was funny. When I was a little kid, I'd be like, Grandma, where are the red glass beads? Well, if you go down the old hall and turn right in the middle bedroom, they're up on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
It was really incredible, and she literally had a million items there, and there was no way for me to deal with it. I hired a lady to come in and help me, a really nice estate dealer in Bellingham.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa Muirs came in, and she did estate sale after estate sale. I took everything I thought that we could sell on eBay, and for 2 years, we tried to liquidate. And at the end of 2 years, Donna, there was so much stuff left that we just boxed it up and gave 80 huge boxes to me, 80 to my brother, 80 to my sister, and 80 to my mom. And that's how we ended up closing the shop, was just dividing it all up. And I still have probably 60 of my boxes. I bought all my mom's. I bought all my brother's. I've still got 120 boxes from that shop, and I won't go through them. I treasure them.
Amazing.
But it is amazing.
You'll never run out of stock, my dear.
Oh, Donna, my house, I'm telling you, I just got a storage unit for the first time in my life and moved a lot of stuff there because, you know, I still go out every weekend to garage and estate sales, and I go to my thrift stores every day, and I just keep buying and buying. I mean, there's so much great stuff at such good prices. I can't pass it up. So it's starting to look like my grandma's house.
Yes. Now, you inherited all of this with good, you know, good seasoning and good experience, and you deserve it all. I always chuckle when I think of one part where you said you made up to $20,000 in a week.
Actually, it was a month, and we used to sell $20,000 a month when I was selling stuff out of the antique store, and it was, you know, and this was back in 1999, 2000. It was not so much competition for sellers,
mm-hmm.
and there were a lot of buyers, and we used to do that, you know, month in, month out. We were making a lot of money, and, you know, I tell the story, my grandmother's antique store, in a good year, would have sold $20,000, and here we were doing it in a month, just because all of a sudden we have traffic, and the world is looking at what we've got, and
right.
It was really amazing.
And your grandmother also was very emphatic about really knowing the history of certain things. She really loved the research that had to go into some of this, and she wanted to know what the value was. So as
you're
a
merchant, absolutely right.
Well, she was selling it, and that's something that is an ongoing process for you because, goodness gracious, we have the Antique Roadshow and so many other programs during the years that were beginning a level of education for most of us. You know, we would look. I remember most people had a throwaway attitude. They'd say, oh, my God, that awful Indian blanket that Aunt Lulu has had in her bathroom for 500 years. Blah. Who wants that god-awful thing? Then they see something on the Antique Roadshow. They say, well, maybe we ought to just check this out, this god-awful thing. Maybe worth a fortune.
It's really true. And, you know, the stuff that you think is not going to be worth anything, it will really surprise you. I, you know, every day I'm shocked at what sells and what doesn't. It's
mm-hmm.
There's almost no rhyme or reason. It's just if somebody wants it and they find another person that wants it and you get two people bidding for it, that's all it takes.
Oh, it's just amazing. Now, I know, and we'll mention this later on when we're chatting, that you are happy to train people and you've got books that you've put together and everything else, and we'll cover that later. I love the photos in each of your books that you have because they talk about your grandma, your family. I mean, I'm looking at photos right now where she's just washed her hair and she's washing your hair and somebody had to be handy dandy with the camera, you know, just say, oh, we got to capture all this stuff. But it's so warm. It's so touching to the heart because your grandmother was such an incredible woman that, and I've got your brand new book here, eBay Money Making Madness, which
all
I
right.
think is just absolutely great. But you've got so many other books that people can go into, and each and every one of them you've added different stories. You know, it took you, 2 years to put this new book together?
It did. It did. And I had so much fun, Donna, because it's like I get to spend time with my grandma again, and I get to go through old pictures. And it's just, I'm getting ready to write the third one in that series, and I just can't wait to get started because it's so much fun for me.
Now, how in the world do you get that in between your shopping at the thrift store, the garage sales? I mean, you must have a portable secretary of some kind that's going along with you and letting you talk about your memories.
You know, I have an assistant that does all my shipping, packing, answering questions. And all I have to do is find the stuff, list it on eBay, and then do my writing. And you know, when you say portable, I just got a digital satellite card for my computer, so mm-hmm. I can be online in the car. When I go on trips, I'm working in the car. My mom drives or somebody else drives. And when I go watch my son's baseball games, I'm working. I have that computer, and it's portable, and it's great.
Would you believe this? No wonder she's considered the queen of eBay, the queen of auctions. Well, let's talk about a few of the items in here, because this is so much fun for me. I just really, really enjoy it. I want to talk about the hanging library lamp. Now,
okay.
This is one. It was, you paid $10 for it. You got it from a church rummage sale. And you say it's Victorian. You dated it to about the 1880s, 1890s. You describe it. And this is something that I don't think people really understand that well, but I know that there are many that are more sophisticated, and you really are happy to teach this. When you put an item up on eBay, the more details you have about it and the better photo you have of it, the more likely it's going to catch somebody's eye. And
it's
you
true.
Go into measurements. You describe the lampshade white with hand-painted floral design featuring a butterfly. The shade is 14 inches across. It's fantastic because it's all original. And that included the crystals, the attaching, I want to call it a base for the ceiling that goes into the ceiling. And you gave the measurements of 42 inches in height. And it's got all of this brass work and the chain and, I mean, all kinds of stuff. You paid $10 for this, and it sold for $425.
Isn't that great?
And the starting bid was $99?
Yeah, I would have been happy with $99. You know, Donna, always it's my goal to get 10 times what I pay.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been happy with $99. And I'll tell you, when I saw that lamp in a box just peeking out, I could tell just without even unwrapping it that it was an old hanging lamp. And I didn't unpack it at the sale because if other people had seen it, or if even the guy that was pricing the sale had seen it, I think they would have asked a lot more money. So I just took it in the box, all wrapped up. I said, "How much for this old lamp?" He said, $10. Yes! It was great.
Amazing. Just amazing. And again, it's so eclectic. There's this one. I just love the title of it, so we have to talk about it. The Boopy Burple Glasses. I have never heard of Green Anchor Hawking Burple Ice Tea Glasses.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I'd like anybody to say Boopy Purple real fast five times.
It's definitely a tongue twister.
It is amazing. Now, tell us a little bit about Anchor Hawking.
You know, it's just a company in, you know, the 30s, 40s, 50s. They made a lot of glassware that everybody had. Everybody had it on their table. You know, it's, you know, the tail end of Depression, and that stuff is really super collectible now because people, it reminds them of their childhood. It takes them back, and that's why this stuff is selling. Anytime you see something in your house or at a charity sale and you say, wow, that reminds me of when I was a kid, that's the kind of thing that you should buy and sell on eBay, because that's what we're finding. Everybody's trying to replace their childhoods or growing up. And I bought this box of glasses at an estate sale, actually. It was a charity sale. And I paid $8 for the whole box. And the first day of the sale, I didn't buy them. The second day, I went back and they were there. So I said, I'll try them. I got over $200 for that box full. And it blows your mind. And people went crazy for them.
Now, tell me about the shipping on this. I know you said you have a person that helps you with this. When you're shipping these products out, and here you've got these glasses, you really have to take care in shipping to make sure that they get there. What kind of a guarantee do you offer, Lynn, when you're dealing with people?
Yeah, you know, the shipping is a really big issue, and it's very important. It's almost the most important part of the whole puzzle, because I'll tell you, if someone is so excited to win an auction that they found something they've been looking for forever, and you don't ship it right or correctly and it gets broken, they are going to be so unhappy with you. So we really wrap things really well. Everything gets bubble wrapped, and then it has 2 inches of packing peanuts around it on all sides. We will tape, like if we sell a dinner set and we've got like 6 dinner plates, we'll bubble wrap them all individually, then we'll tape them all together to keep them sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all taped together, and then they go in the middle of all these packing peanuts, We shake all our boxes to make sure there's no extra air, tape them up really well. We insure every box. We use UPS here in the States and the United States Postal Service. Most of the bigger breakables go UPS, and they're automatically insured up to $100. And, you know, we rarely have breakage. But if we do, UPS pays us on their claims very quickly, and we get the money back to our customers. So shipping is very important, and, you know, I'm always in there watching to make sure it's getting done right.
Well, I think that all of that is really, really good information, because if someone is as conscientious as you are, and of course, this is a passion for you. You're just having a blast.
I am having a blast.
You're as wonderful as your grandmother, I should say. Not as bad as your grandmother.
Oh, thank you.
But anyway, with this, because you have so much fun with it, and it's so eclectic, and you've got so many different things, let's talk about Walt Disney art. There was a Walt Disney autograph, 1950s, rare original art. And how did you come into that? You were talking with someone. It was a garage sale right there in Palm Desert.
It was, you know, this is the craziest item. It's the item I sold for the most money. And a friend of mine had told me about this community that had a sale once a year. And she's like, you got to be there right when the gates open. And I went in, and one of the first garages, they had all this artwork. And a man had gotten there ahead of me, and he was buying it. It was some famous painter. And against the back wall, I saw this piece of, I thought it was a print, a piece of Disney, you know, printed lithograph or something, a piece of art. And I said, how much for that? And the guy running the sale said $20. And the other gentleman that was buying all the artwork said, oh, no, I already bought that with the artwork. And the guy having the sale said, oh, no, you didn't. And I was like, okay, I'm buying it quick and getting out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him the $20 and started running to my car just to avoid any hassle with this other guy. And the guy followed me who was running the sale. And he said, Lynn, he didn't know my name, but he said, listen, he said, my mom and I used to be animators for the Disney company in the 60s, 50s and 60s. And my mom got sick. And everyone in the animation department drew her this card and signed the matting. I couldn't believe it, Donna.
Awesome.
It was an original piece of Disney art. And I took it home thinking I was going to give it to my son. And I got it by my computer, and I started to do some research. And I really literally started shaking when I saw that Walt Disney had signed the top of the matting. Oh, yeah. And his signatures can go for $500, $1,000. It just depends. So I said to my son, was heartbroken, but I said, you know what, honey, I think this is the mortgage payment,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to sell it and put it on eBay. And I think I only put $1,000 reserve, but it sold for $2,750.
Incredible.
That's my best one.
Yes. I mean, you did, again, the research on each and every one of the signatures.
I did.
You included in your listing each and every name, and you didn't do it here in the book, but when you had it on eBay. And your son never forgets to remind you about this, right?
I told him I'd buy him a Disney signature someday when I could really afford it. And I'll tell you, at least once a week, Donna, he's like, hey, you know, you still owe me that Disney signature.
Oh, kids are wonderful. Now, for those of you that tuned in a little bit late, you're wondering why we're having so much fun. Well, I'm talking with Lynn A. Drail. She is known as the queen of auctions, the queen of eBay. She's got a new book out. She's written other books, eBay Money Making Madness. And this is something she does every day. How much better can it get for a gal that was born to shop with a grandmother who was, you know, absolutely taught her how to love to spend money and to shop, but you're going to do it when you can get a deal. So she's got all of this refined education, and she is more than happy to share it with you. And later on, we're going to tell you how you can be in touch with her and how you can get her instruction book. She's just done some wonderful, wonderful things. Let's talk for a minute, Lynn, about the whale snuff box. This was made out of bone ivory, and it's as cute as it can be, but scrimshaw and snuff boxes like this are pretty rare.
Yeah, you know, snuff boxes, you know, snuff was a huge thing back in the 1890s, early 1900s, and everyone had their own personal snuff box. So today you find tons of collectors for snuff boxes. Also, there's, you know, when I look at something, Donna, I think, could this be collected by more than one person? Does it have multiple collectors who would be interested? And when I looked at the snuff box, it has a whale on it, so it could be a whale collector. It's a snuff box, so it could be a snuff box collector. And it also had scrimshaw. So right there, I had three different groups of people that might want this box. And it's funny because it wasn't that old of a box. My grandma had bought it at the Seattle gift show and back in the 80s, I believe. And, you know, she paid maybe $18 for it, or no, $16. And I put it on eBay hoping to get, you know, maybe $16, but I got $69 for it. It was just incredible.
Well, and, you know, you've got things from all over the world. And this is what's so much fun about a book, because you can go in and you can flip through and you see all of these things and go, wow, wouldn't you just focus on one specific thing, like maybe Linux, China, rare pieces? No. Linux gets into anything and everything, including a Misha bear from the 1980 Olympics. It's the MWT Russian Rare. Now, I look at this little bear and I want to say, okay, so he's got the five, you know, Olympic circles on his little tummy. Why was he such a valuable thing? I mean, you didn't pay a squat for him. You paid nada for him.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, another funny thing is, you know, I've had these Misha bears before. Sometimes they sell for a lot, sometimes they don't. It really depends on who's watching the auction that week. And, you know, this bear turned out to be from the Olympics for the U.S. pulled out. So once the United States decided not to attend and they announced it, my grandma knew about these bears, and she's the one that bought it. She rushed right over to some toy store and cleaned them out, and she bought bags full of these. And we just put them all up in the attic, and we had them up there for years and years and years. And when I inherited this, my brother did, and I sold it for him, but it sold for $66 for this. You're right, just a mangy little bear.
And I'm looking, he's cute as a button, but I mean, really, $66 for this little tiny squatty thing? I mean, it's amazing.
And he doesn't even look like he's in that good a condition. So, it just is amazing.
It's again, what the people value. Now, again, your grandmother just would, on instinct, lots of times, just say, we've got to do it. I'm going to do this. And I have to think about your grandfather. Did he ever think that she would be better off at the mental institution here in Washington?
Oh, you know what, Donna? He just adored her. And, you know, she called him her big teddy bear. He just loved her. Nothing she could do was ever wrong. And he would bend over backwards to make her happy. And you know, she met him. He was a high school teacher at her high school in Kashmir, Washington.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And he was, was he 8, 9 years older than her? And she said the first day she saw him, she says, he is so handsome. And she didn't tell any of her girlfriends because she was going to get that guy. She didn't show him her hand. She was smart even when she was 20, you know. And they started dating and got married right after she'd been in college for a couple of years. But he just loved her and got such a kick out of her and traveled the world with her. And they had a great life. And unfortunately, he died, you know, almost 30 years before she passed away.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, she was a woman with so much vitality. And he lived long enough to build her 10,000 square feet of, you know, of house.
he sure did.
He said, you know, you're going to be doing this after I'm gone, so I better make sure you got some space in here. Of course, I'm teasing. But you have an antique box of Detalium Native American Vintage. Did I mispronounce that? What that is.
It is dentalium, and dentalium is a natural reed, I believe, that grows in, you know, I think it grows in Washington and in a lot of the rivers around there. And the Native Americans used to use it for money and also for jewelry. And, and my grandma had boxes and boxes and boxes of these. In fact, I still have boxes of these somewhere, and I don't know where they are. I got to find them because that one little tiny box sold for $32.99.
Amazing. I mean, it's just, they're fascinating. They look in the photo as if they're made out of bone.
Yeah, they really do, and they're not. They grow naturally. And so they do use them a lot in jewelry still, and that's probably what somebody did. You know what? They went to Alaska, so it's very interesting.
Just, it's fascinating, and I just love what you said about your grandmother. She never was interested in clothes that much. She'd buy beads.
Yes, she did.
You know, she's so much fun. You've got so much stuff to talk about with your grandma. She's just one of these wonderful, wonderful people. Now, you had a Southwest plane ticket.
Oh, yeah.
And that sold for $300.03, which cracked me up. The three and a three.
Yeah, exactly. There, you know, people bid at funny increments to try to win bids, and that's why you get some of these funny prices. But, you know, I had heard about people selling these tickets, and I have all these miles from my American Express card. So I cashed the miles in, got the plane ticket for free, and I got $300 for it. I just couldn't believe it. And back then, you couldn't sell the ticket. You had to sell the you had to sell the drink coupons and tell people you're bidding on the drink coupons, but as a gift with purchase, you get this plane ticket. So we had to be
thinking.
A little tricky back then, and the couple that bought it used it to celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary. So what a great story.
Oh, that is awesome. Now, let's go back in history a little bit. Like I said, for those of you listening, Lynn is so eclectic in what she does. We're going to talk about Babe Ruth for a minute. A Babe Ruth figurine, it was a Babe Ruth Danbury mint statue baseball, MIB. And, boy, he is such an icon. To even find something that's in perfect condition is incredible. How did you find this?
You know, they redid a lot of these collect, or they made these collectibles, like in the 70s and 80s. And actually, this one was from the 90s. These people go to the estate of Babe Ruth and say, hey, we want to create this figurine in his likeness. And I stumbled on this garage sale, and she had like 8 or 10 of these. And I said, how much for all of them? And she charged me $15 each. And out of all of them, the one that sold for the most was the Babe Ruth, of course. He was just so cool. And sold for $100, not bad for a $15 investment. And what's so great is my kid's dad, I think it was his great-grandfather, had been mayor of Perth Amboy and had actually met Babe Ruth. So it was so great I got to use that picture of my kid's relative with Babe Ruth in the book.
Awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
Now, baccarat crystal is something that is so incredibly expensive. And you got an antique baccarat crystal prism chain chandelier, and it's French. Bulb. It was made in the 1920s. This is an incredible piece. I wouldn't envy anyone to try to wash it. How did you get this?
Oh, my gosh. You know, Donna, I have to tell you, too, it was about 2 or 3 years ago at this one charity sale that I love. And I'll tell you, over the years, the charity sales have started getting less and less as lucrative because there's a lot more people that come in and know what they're doing. But I was so lucky this one day. Underneath the table, I spotted these prisms on a frame, and it was a lamp. I didn't take it out. I didn't even look at it to see if it was signed. It was $20. What do you have to lose? I know that those glass prisms sell for, $1 to $10 each, so there's no way I could go wrong. Hauled it up, put it in my pile behind the cashier, and a dealer that I know here in town, he comes up to me and he goes, I'll give you $100 for it. I go, no. He goes, I'll give you $200 for it. I go, no, I have one like it, and I want this to hang in my house. Well, I'm not going to tell him I'm going to sell it, but finally he backed off and walked away. And I'll tell you, anytime an antique dealer offers you money at a sale, keep it. Got it home, sat in my dining room for weeks. We finally hung it up with my new assistant, Maureen. This was when Mo started working for me. And I go, oh, my God, I got goosebumps. I couldn't believe it. There in the very center was a brass metal plate that said Baccarat French or Baccarat France. It was a Baccarat chandelier. I couldn't believe it. I ran inside, did my research, knew that it was worth at least $2,000 to $4,000, and put it on eBay with a $2,000 reserve, and it ended up selling for $2,284. But the bummer was I had to ship it to Japan.
Oh, my word.
And Maureen had just started. She was my new assistant. She goes, I'm letting you do this one, Lynn. And I'll tell you, literally, Donna, it took me a whole day to pack that. I wrapped every single prism in tissue and bubble wrap, and I wrapped it so well, and it went in 2 boxes. I think he paid me a couple hundred to ship it. It cost that much to ship it to Japan.
Amazing. Well, Lynn, we've got to tell people how they can get in touch with you. Again, for those of you listening, this is Lynn Drail. She's the queen of eBay, queen of auctions, and she has all kinds of books. She also has a loose leaf binder system for tracking if you wanted to do something like what she's doing. She's been around the mountain with this, folks, more than once. So she's happy to save you a lot of time, a lot of hassle. You're going to make money? Well, why waste your time trying to figure out how to do it when you go to Lynn and you can get the book? It's that simple.
It's absolutely true.
Now, how can people get a hold of you, Lynn?
You know, if they go to my website, thequeenofauctions.com, I write a free newsletter. That's the first thing to do is sign up for that. I'm working on my one for this week. It comes out every week. Got all sorts of stories, tips, and tricks. Also on my website are all my books and videos and all that kind of stuff. But if they go to thequeenofauctions.com and sign up for that newsletter, it's in the upper left-hand corner. That's the best thing to do.
All right. And then there's an email also, isn't there, that people can write you?
Sure. They can write to me at lynn@thequeenofauctions.com.
Lynn, that's L-Y-N-N.
That's right.
@thequeenofauctions.com. Lynn, we've got just about 30 seconds here. What thought would you like to leave with my listeners?
You know, Donna, it's such a fun way to make a living, and if you're passionate about antiques and collectibles, I can't recommend a better way to make a living. I'm a single mom. I stay home with my kids. They are in my office all day long having fun. They help me with this. They go to garage sales with me. They help me wash stuff. It's just a great family business, and I just recommend anybody that has a passion for this to try it.
Lynn Drale, and her last name is spelled D-R-A-L-L-E. Go to her website, which is thequeenofauctions.com. Also, you can communicate with her directly, Lynn, L-Y-N-N, @thequeenofauctions.com. Lynn, it's been a delight, as always. Keep up the good work and send me your next book.
I will, Donna. Great talking to you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Take care.
Uh-huh. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment or two, and when we come back, I got some more good things to share with you. Also, phone lines will be open, so don't you go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and for those of you that heard Lynn and you want to know how to reach her, she's just a doll. And again, this is like her third appearance on my show over the years. We started working together on things 5 years ago, and she's just absolutely wonderful. And her website is thequeenofauctions.com. Well, it seems like so much of the country is experiencing a lot of cold, and here in the Pacific Northwest, we still have a wee bit of snow on the ground, but the temps are warming up, and guess what we're getting? You would never guess in a million years, not for Seattle, rain, yes. And, of course, the old story around here is if it's not raining, it's going to rain, so it's either or. And anyway, it's a delight. We're happy to get rid of our ice and to see the snow dissolve. But Vicki Rohick has a poem here that I really like. It's a cute one. It says, "Mr. Snowman, I see you. You've come up from the ground with your coal eyes, carrot nose, 6 buttons, and a frown. A black top hat with just a bit of snow upon the brim. The final touch is your scarf I lovingly dressed you in." It's an adorable picture of a snowman and a real sassy royal blue scarf trimmed with white and different shades of blue and snowflakes. It's really a wonderful, wonderful little poem. And so many areas of the country, they're experiencing it, even in happy, sassy California, which normally is pleasantly warm this time of the year. Well, they've gotten one of those unusual seasons, having been born and raised in California. I had lived through a few of those experiences where you have the groves in danger of being, you know, damaged because of the real cold temps. So it's been so long since they've had it that it's, when it hits, it's always a real surprise, because people in California, just like in Hawaii, say, oh, my goodness, temps drop, we're freezing to death. Of course, those of us that live further north, we go, yeah, no big deal. You know, I realized, I was made aware of the fact that when I gave the zodiac information out for winter, I don't think I covered Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. I hope I did, but maybe I didn't. So what I wanted to do was to cover those that last quarter of the year. Now, by the way, if you want to call in and chat with me today, you're going to be able to do that. Here's our toll-free numbers. The first one is for the U.S., 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. In Canada, you go to 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. Or we've got another line of 530-876-3222. Well, I wanted to give this because somebody said, I didn't hear it, Donna, so I said, okay, I'll do it again. Now, this is the winter horoscope bonus. We've already passed through December, so I'm just going to give you January and February. Job opportunities for those of you born under the sign of Capricorn. Got a lot of good things coming your way after the 16th of the month. People are going to see you as a can-do person and want to contact you. They want to tap into your savvy, whether it's in business or other areas. You're going to be happy. You're going to be smiling all the way to the bank. I know we've got a caller. Let me finish this for the Capricorn for February. You're going to get a well-deserved mini vacation. It'll make you happy after the 19th of February. And take a look, a fresh look at your financial documents. You know, you might find you've got some money that's going to come to you from that. Also, you may end up getting some extra cash that's not expected. Let's go to our caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Susie. I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington.
Hi, Susie. And Tacoma, yes, we're in the same stomping grounds. Are you too heavily snowed in, or is that finally dissipating for you?
It's finally dissipating for us, and we're not snowed in anymore.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Okay, Susie, the first thing that is coming into my mind with you is you need to keep a steady pace. I want to say take what I would call a slower rhythm of plan and action. The reason I'm recommending that is that there is something you're working towards, and you need to take an easy, gentle pace so that as you are moving forward, you then can scan what's going on around you. And it's as if I'm scanning 180 degrees. So I'm just seeing you sort of moving right along at a soft, easy-going pace, and you're scanning. And if you need to stop, if you need for any reason to back up, change direction, bring something new into what's going to be done, whatever it takes, then you won't be frustrated. You'll be able to incorporate whatever change, or I can use the word growth or whatever development you want, to fold into what you're already doing. And you'll be able to do it smoothly and easily. But if you try to push forward too fast and make things happen real fast, you're going to find you've missed some things along the way. So it's just sort of this easy going, slow but sure, consistent pattern of action. That's going to get you where you want to be. And you're going to find, again, you're going to be able to fold in extra things that need to be added to the mix. And that's going to do you a great deal of good. You're going to be very, very happy with the results. So
okay.
Be patient. Don't let anybody else push you along. You do this in your own pace. You don't need to be afraid of missing something, of, gee whiz, I think of someone I talked with just the other day that said, oh, what if I had done something differently, and they went on and on and on about things. You take your own time, do what you need to do. You're not going to miss the steps you need to take. You'll do exactly what you need to do. What's your question for me this afternoon?
I couldn't hear you.
What's your question for this afternoon?
Oh, my question today is actually for a friend of mine.
Okay.
His little girl has been in the hospital, and the doctors can't figure out what she has. currently she moved from Tacoma General. She's over in Seattle now, and they're thinking that she has to fly out to a hospital on the East Coast. They don't know if it's associated with, I think it's mitochondria.
What's that?
Pardon?
What is that there?
Mitochondria?
Mm-hmm.
It's part of your cell that everybody has a portion of it, but it's defective, and it has a multitude of symptoms where it could, for her digestive system, breathing, heart, her brain. I mean, it's something that's kind of new, but they don't know if it's this that's caused her. Originally, they thought she had reflux, problems with reflux, so they went in and she had surgery to put a tube in her stomach, and then she still had problems, so they thought, okay, it's something else. It wasn't just the reflux. It's something as a symptom of whatever else she had.
Well, I think what's puzzling the doctors, I think they've really got a challenge here, obviously, just from what you've said. But the challenge is a multiple challenge, because it's, to me, what I am looking at is something toxic, something very toxic that got into her system. So
okay.
I don't know whether it was something she might have inhaled, something she ingested that began the sequence. And what I'm looking at, and these are just pictures in my mind. I'm not a physician, so I'm just sharing with you what I'm perceiving. What I'm looking at is a chain reaction. And her immune system literally going against itself because it can't figure out what it's supposed to do.
Okay.
And I think the doctors have a huge challenge here because you don't have just one specific thing. And they're really going to need to do some extensive testing. And they need to do, like, toxicity testing, the things that are sort of out of the box. Because
okay.
the standard tests that they're going to, that they will have already done, I mean, I think the doctors are doing everything they possibly know how to do, and that she may have to be flown back onto the East Coast would be fine. But I think there's tests for toxicity, tests that need to be done on each organ, because what this is doing, it has progressed so
wow.
that the immune system is operating, strangely enough, differently with every organ. So the body is literally, in my mind's view, going through mass confusion because it's not getting its signals correctly.
Okay.
And so parts of the system will start closing down.
Oh.
And so they do have a very critical situation here, because of what has gone on. Now, I will tell you this. I think this little girl has a very good chance of surviving. And I'm looking at a physician. He's a man that's in his late 50s, and he has a student physician that's under him that's been apprenticing with him. That's the terminology I will use as an intern.
Okay.
And between the two of them, they're going to recognize something. And this doctor has been involved with cases of toxicity, you know, types of poisoning and different things like this.
Okay.
The little girl actually will have a pretty good chance. However, what I'm concerned with is how the body is going to be able to bounce back from this.
Right.
So, with everything that they're doing the best that they know how. And it's really a challenge when you have something like this go haywire in the body, because I'm seeing it also even in the spine.
Okay.
So I think doing as much analysis as possible, trying to keep the child as comfortable as possible, is paramount, because she's going to have to go through so many tests.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much. That I guess we just have to pray from now on.
Well, I do more than pray, and I have nothing against praying. I would like to see you and maybe members of the family get on the Internet.
Okay.
And really try to help the doctors as much as you can, because it's going to take a lot of people communicating and communicating with the doctors. I'm looking at some physicians that are so concerned about this, they're open for anything. They wouldn't
okay.
care. So I'd say if there's members of the family that are familiar with how to use the Internet to research certain things, then by golly, get on there and get busy.
Okay.
Oh. Because there are options for this child. And it'll set a precedent. It really will.
Yeah.
She'll be in the medical books.
Okay. Well, I will have him email you, because that would probably be helpful. He didn't want to call, but I called for him today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so glad you did. But this is going to take a cooperative effort on multiple levels.
Right.
And I think, again, her physicians are just doing the best they know how. I mean, when you have something that's like this, what are you going to do? You're trying to think it through logically. This is not logic.
Right.
This is a situation where the body is doing exactly what it should never even be capable of doing, but it is. So the attitude must be, okay, this is what's going on. Let's see what we can do in research. But something toxic has entered this child's body. I don't know. It could be a tick. You know, it could be something that bit her.
With the toxic thing, it would have happened before she went to the hospital?
Oh, absolutely.
Or is it a combination?
No, absolutely. It was before.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
Before she was even admitted.
Right.
Okay.
That's
so
what caused all of this stuff to come around.
She might be allergic to something that they...
Easily. I mean, everything has to be looked at.
Yeah.
I'm out of time, hon. We're going to be taking a break. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
And let us know how it goes with the child.
Okay. I'll call you next week.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Phone lines are open, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322 if you're calling in from Canada. We will be right back. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 in the U.S. From Canada, 888-810-8322, or our other direct line is 530-876-3222. Now, I've got the winter forecast for those of you under the sign of Aquarius and Pisces. We'll take Aquarius first. You know, in January, you are going to look so good this month as you are just increasing in your confidence level. And, man, if you're out looking for a partner, I just think you've got such a wonderful attitude about trying to meet up with that special someone. You are really going to be really feeling very good about yourself. Your artistic sensibilities, well, they're becoming even more refined. Just very creative. You're in this wonderful, wonderful creative mode. In February, if you've been under a lot of stress, you're going to find that they're going to be easing up those situations and or conditions that would cause same. You're going to feel very much more philosophical about life. And you are going to really have a chance to unwind. If you were just so busy with the holidays and everything else, and January has just been going a mile a minute, and you go, oh, I need some time for myself. Well, you're going to have it if you're an Aquarian. Now, let's get to Pisces. You know, after the 28th of this month, you're going to find that you are just going to have so many things going so right for you. You are going to be so together in your thinking, probably going to find that if you opt to do so, you're going to have a pretty busy social calendar. And if you are looking for someone to share your life with, you might be fortunate enough this month to find someone, or after the 28th, rather. And then in February, Valentine's Day is going to have a very special meaning for you, and you are making a point of having fun. You have really a desire to find out more about yourself, and you want to do it in a lighthearted way, and you're also going to find that you may have a money-making opportunity through a hobby that has meant so much to you. There may be a way for you to have some extra coins jingling in your pocket. So I just wanted to finish that up. Again, somebody brought that to my attention, and I said, okay, well, I don't want to have a third of the zodiac missing out on its forecast. And if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, say, give me a call. Telephone number to call is 877-876-5227. And from Canada, it's 888-810-8322. Well, let me let you know about the people that are going to be coming up tomorrow. We are going to be talking with Patricia Evans. We're going to be talking about the verbally abusive man. Now, this is such a fascinating publication because she also addresses the verbally abusive female. Yes, but there are some interesting points she makes about that. So anyway, we're going to be talking with Patricia. And then next week, for those of you that are in Alaska, I am going to be up in both Fairbanks and Anchorage. I'm also going to be doing a free mini-seminar while I'm up there, so just give me a call if you want more details on that. My office number is 800-872-8852. But here are the guests that we're going to have on the show. The show goes on even when I'm on the road. We're going to be talking with Alan Weissman, and for those of you who are regular listeners, you may have heard me promote his book Lone Star Extraordinaire, and that is Dan Rather. Well, Alan did, going into the hospital, so we weren't able to have him for his interview, but we rescheduled for January, so he's going to be our guest on Monday of next week. We're also going to be talking with Dr. Elizabeth Roberts, and I really, really liked this book, Should You Medicate Your Child's Mind, and I have my attitudes about medication with children, and she is a physician that has dealt with this situation and various conditions with children that have learning deficiencies and all kinds of things, and she's got some wonderful insights to share. Also, we're going to be talking with Richard Smith. He's a real estate specialist, and we're going to be telling you how you can be alert for buying business investment relative to real estate, or maybe you're wanting to sell your own home, so he's going to be giving us some pointers. Then we'll be talking with Tom Moore about the gentle way. Tom has discovered, this is a man who has been very successful in life, he discovered a technique for making his life a lot easier, and as he describes it with the title of his book, The Gentle Way. And then we'll be talking next Friday about divorce, a successful one. Usually people don't want to talk about divorce. Even in today's so-called modern liberated world, divorce is not something we like to discuss openly. However, we have a wonderful woman by the name of Allison Quadrocci, and she really has some good attitudes about it. She has been a mediator for people, and she has some suggestions. So if this is something that you would like some information on, you're not going to want to miss it. Then, before the end of this month, we're going to be talking with Maureen Caudill. And this is a woman that went in, she is a physicist, and she went in to do some exploration, if you will, on how to develop her psychic ability. Well, she ended up finding she could do remote viewing. It totally shattered a lot of her attitudes and learnings that she had been indoctrinated with in the world of science, and she is a fascinating lady to talk with. We're going to be talking with her on the 30th, and then Marilyn Sorensen is going to be our guest. We're going to be breaking the chain of low self-esteem. So we have a delightful lineup of guests. We invite you to tell your friends, and whenever you have the opportunity, listen. But also know that the shows are archived here on VBS Radio, and we're delighted to have you come in and visit with us and listen to the shows. And if you have any comments about the shows, send us an email. If you have a special recipe, if there's something that you feel is significant that I should be made aware of so I can share it with my listening audience, send me an email. You can send an email to bbsradio.com. You can go into the website, and there is that contact section. You can write out your message there, or you can send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And just know that we are happy to really do whatever we can to make our programming more interesting for you. Now, I know we've got a little bit of time, and if you wanted to call in quickly to chat with me, 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or Canada only, 888-810-8322. I wanted to share with you a story that was adapted from Inc. magazine, and it's about security, international security. And a gentleman by the name of Bruce Moore founded this business to provide security guards for the federal government. Now, he has currently a $26 million a year plus company by paying attention to every detail of the business he's running. Security is something that's very significant to all of us at this time. And a key aspect of his leadership is to apply that same scrutiny and concern to the people that are working for him. He understands that the people he hires face a lot of special challenges. Now, in general, most of the people hired as security guards are not highly educated. They hold a high school diploma, but they don't often go on for advanced education. But he realizes morale is the bigger issue that he has to deal with. And he says, people don't go through high school saying, I can't wait to graduate so I can be a security guard. And those people who see themselves in a low-paying, low-status job without the means to do better pose a major motivational challenge. Now, how does this man handle this? How does he deal with these various situations that these people could present to him? Well, wages might be an obvious place to begin. However, because his workers' union negotiated the basic wage levels, he can't bargain with employees individually about their base pay. So in order to encourage individual effort and improvement, he uses other tactics. One, he builds self-pride with his employees. Every guard has a free, clean uniform at company expense for every day of the week. They start their day looking good and taking pride in their appearance. And two, is letting the guards know that the company and the boss pay attention to everybody's work. And full-time quality assurance monitors visits each contract site. And he also, himself, pays a call on each side every quarter. And three, they look for good work, not simply errors. And they have incentive awards. And he also offers a bonus of $1,200 per year as tuition assistance to each employee who wants to build a career in security or criminal justice. And what has happened is that he's got a fabulous business that is solid and continuing to grow. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, time does go by when you're having fun. Remember always, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. We'll be with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Enjoy your life. It is rich with opportunity. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.